Our study tonight is in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, Christ's instruction on effective prayer. Jesus' disciples knew that the prayers of Israel's leaders lacked spiritual quality, for godly John the Baptist had taught his disciples to pray, in contrast to the wayward praying of Israel's religious leaders. We know that from Luke chapter 11, verse 1. Thus, one of Christ's disciples asked Jesus to teach them how to pray like John had taught his disciples. And Luke chapter 11, 2 through 13 reveals Jesus' teaching on effective prayer. So we view the instruction by the Lord for our insight, our application, and edification as follows. Let me read the passage and then we'll look at it. Luke chapter 11, 1 to 13. And it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, When you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, that because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needs. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give? He will not for a fish give him a serpent, will he? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Okay, in teaching us how to pray, Christ's giving of the Lord's Prayer was never meant to be used as a ritual, but a model for general prayer. This is one reason why we don't, you know, in a lot of the high church, or the high church of the mainline Protestant churches, they use the Lord's Prayer in the Catholic Church as well. And they say it on a ritual basis. But Jesus never meant it that way. He was just trying to demonstrate the basic kind of a prayer that we should pray. It's interesting. Prayer should always be addressed to the Father, for prayer is basically the attitude of dependence of a child towards a father. And the phrase, who art in heaven, is not in the best manuscripts, incidentally. If you have Matthew's Gospel or some of the others, they'll have a much fuller version. But Luke's version is very toned down, very short. Very interesting. The first request involves an act of worship, where the believer seeks to uphold God's reputation as one who is to be revered by man. That's where he says, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. The word holy means to be separate. We need to recognize God is righteous, and because he's righteous, he's completely separate from this world. This world is full of sin. It's full of wickedness. And the angels are constantly yelling out, holy, holy, or separate, separate is God. Because they see the world, they see the sin in it. And the fact that it's in the same existence where you have God who is so perfectly righteous is an enormous tension. The angels can barely handle it. God who is absolutely perfect, it's amazing that he can, but he's a gracious God, and because he's gracious, he doesn't consume this world immediately. So we need to recognize that God is holy. He's separate. He's separate from the world. And there should be, with that, in that, a desire to be separate from sin and to be with the Father himself. The second request is your kingdom come. Calls for God's work that will culminate in the arrival of his kingdom to be furthered. The words, "Thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth," do not appear in the best manuscripts of Luke. It's very, very short. He says, "Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come." Very simple. And the third request is for the daily livelihood needs of believers to be met as our daily bread. And the daily bread is inclusive. Not only is that our food needs, there are needs for water, there's need for health care, that kind of a thing. Meat is our daily bread. Then, the fourth request deals with the confession of sin for a restored fellowship with God. Very simple. And the fifth request, "Lead us not into temptation." Now, this does not imply that God leads his people into temptation, but that Jesus' followers are to pray that they be delivered from situations that would cause them to sin. God never tempts any man. But what Jesus is saying is, you can go ahead and pray that God will not allow you to get into a temptation where you're over your head and you're pushed into sinning. So it's interesting. He's dealing with the daily bread, physical needs. He's dealing with the righteousness, the holiness of God, the kingdom of God, the will of God coming. He's dealing with the issue of sin and so forth. This demonstrates the utter simplicity of prayer. God wants us to be to the point, simple, not ornate, not flowery. See, this is so different. The Pharisees would pray long prayers to be impressive by other people. Jesus said, make it simple, make it short, to the point. God knows what you're going to pray before you pray. So you're in the presence of an almighty God who knows everything about you and the way you're going to say it before you go ahead. So you have to be humble and just like a child talking to a father, say, "Dad, I need this," or whatever. Very interesting. And when Jesus referred to the Father, he would call him Abba, which is the term for daddy. It was the diminutive term for daddy, just general. And that's how Jesus would pray to the Father in heaven. God wants us to view himself as our dear Father and to pray to him. Then Jesus gave a parable in Luke 11, 5 to 8, to teach his disciples to pray with perseverance. Jesus taught that a man who had need of bread at midnight to feed a guest who had just arrived went to a friend to ask him for bread. Now, at first, the man in the house refused to get up and get his friend bread lest he disturb his sleeping children, and his door was locked, so he didn't want to be bothered. That phrase about, I'm in bed with my children, it's different than what we have. Sometimes kids will come and they'll try to get into bed with mom and dad. In those days, they laid on the floor, and they had cots laid out. If the man had to get up and get bread, he'd have to step over the children here and there, and there was always a danger of waking one of the children up, and he didn't want to wake any of the children up. So he says, I'm in bed with my children. The children were in bed with him, but they were, it was kind of like being at a campground. They were all spread out all over the floor, and they were on their little cots or their mats, and he didn't want to disturb anybody that way. So at first, he didn't mind them, but however, the man at the door shamelessly continued to knock, so the man of the house eventually got up and gave his friend the bread due to his persistence. Similarly, God's people are to pray with persistence if they sense that they are in great need. Now, I want to use a disclaimer here. This is not the type of prayer. He doesn't want us to pray just in a repetitious manner, thinking that the more repetitious we are, the more God's going to yield to us. But this is a persistence where the person is praying out of enormous need. And there are times when we pray, we're desperate. Okay, and when you're desperate, you have a tendency to repeat the prayer a bunch of times. And God says, you go ahead. If that's the way it is, if that's the pressure issue, you go at it. And that persistence is something that God delights in. But it has to be something that is genuine, that's from the heart itself. Now, Christ then taught the need for God's people to function practical ways in their lives to match their persistency in prayer. This is something that I really believe needs to be practiced more. God's not opposed to persistence in prayer, but he wants us to keep our eyes open. There's an illustration that we used to use one time. There was a man who was facing a flood, and the floodwater started to rise around his house, and so he got up on the roof. So he started to pray to God. He said, God, please send me someone with a boat that they can save me. And the waters kept rising. He finally was on the very top of the roof. And a helicopter came by and lowered a bucket and said, get in the bucket and we'll take you away. No, I'm praying to God for the boat. I need a boat. So the helicopter went back and the water got up. It was at his ankles. He was praying for a boat. The helicopter came again, tried to save him. And they said, just get in the bucket, you know, we'll take you out of here. No, I'm looking for a boat. Well, if you, a boat comes, you know, it's so the current is so swift, you might lose the boat and the man in the boat with you. So just hop in. No, no, I'm praying for a boat. Well, eventually the man drowned because he went up to heaven and he turned to the Lord and he said, God, I was praying and praying for, why didn't you send a boat? The Lord said, I couldn't send a boat like the guy said. The water was so swift. You would have drowned just trying to get into the boat, and you'd lost the boat and the men too. But I sent you the helicopter. I sent him three times, and you never got in the bucket. So, hey, I did my part, but you didn't do your part. And that's, you know, it's a kind of joke we used to say, but that's really a very practical standpoint. God wants us to look for the answers. See? A lot of times, God's ready. He's got them out there. We're just not thinking like God. So, translated literally, this passage should read, keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Keep on seeking, and you will find. Keep on knocking, and the door will be opened. Everyone who keeps on asking receives. He who keeps on seeking finds. To him who keeps on knocking, the doors will be opened. So, that's what we need to do. We need to be actively looking for God's answer while we're praying. Doesn't mean we knock down doors or force the issue, but looking, keeping aware. Now, if a believer then has an intense need and he prays persistently about his need, that prayer should be coupled with the believer's seeking and knocking in his practical life, as God may have the answer to his prayer available through the means of circumstances that arise in one's daily experience. In other words, if we pray persistently, we need to be just as persistent in keeping our eyes and our ears open for the Lord's answers that may come our way in our daily lives. And then Christ's Luke 11:11-13 directive instructs God's people to pray with the awareness that God is good and that he will give only what is good to his people when they pray. So we should then be motivated to pray. Now, what God views as good for us may not be what we view as good for us. It's like a child saying, God, I want, you know, he's going to the fair. See, please move the heart of mommy and daddy to give me the cotton candy. And this child may have a real problem with cotton candy. So the parents are going to look in another direction and they say, maybe get a nice hamburger or something else like that. And the child may be discouraged over that. Well, the parent may know that because of the child's health situation, you give the child the cotton candy, he's going to be sick. And, or he's noticed every time I give this child candy, you know, in a week or two, he's got the flu or something else because the sugar has a tendency, incidentally, to hurt the immune system and demean it. And that's why people, after Halloween, especially in Christmas, a lot of times kids would be sick for sometimes a week. So God will give us what he views as good for us. He may not give us what we thought, but in retrospect, we're going to find out it's good because he knows what's good for us. So the lesson is, for effective prayer, Christ taught us to rely on the Father, to uphold his reputation, to ask that his work be furthered, to ask that our daily living needs be met, to confess our sins, and to ask for his deliverance from overwhelming temptations. We should pray persistently, looking for God's answers in our daily lives, and trust that he will do what is good for us. So may we heed Jesus' teaching on prayer, to pray effectively in our lives. And not long ago, I was facing an issue. It was a trial of sorts, and I had committed it to prayer, being aware of the teaching that was in this particular lesson. And there was just pressure, and I didn't sense a relief from it, so I kept praying, you know, trying to be persistent, praying, and it was just uptight. And finally, I came to recognize there's a passage that I often read for my pastoral studies on Fridays. It's 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. And it came to mind. And that passage is directed especially to pastors. And it says, no man who goes to war entangles himself with civilian affairs that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. And I got to thinking, this thing that's upsetting me and keeping me up is something that's really outside of the realm of the will of God for me. It's a civilian affair. There's nothing wrong with it, but it's a civilian affair, and I'm all uptight over this thing. And instead of focusing on what God wants me to focus on, as soon as I recognized the tension was completely gone, just like that, everything was relaxed. I just wasn't praying within the will of God, and I didn't realize it. But the answer was there because I had been studying 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus for decades. And it was already in a passage that I knew very, very well. I just wasn't thinking about it. So God does answer prayer, but while we pray, and he wants us to go ahead and feel comfortable to pray and to pray consistently, but he wants us to look for the answers. And often the answers are staring us square in the face and things that he's brought up in our lives in the past. All we have to do is pay attention. So sometimes it's good just to review and think, okay, where am I in my life? What am I doing? Am I paying attention to what God has already been telling me? What am I missing here? And just jump on board with the Lord, and then he can cause us to relax and to rejoice in him.